Succession number 20362, Reel 4.
Charles Porter, Reel 4.
I could hear the firing taking place, and then we found the tanks came back into the little small clearing, and we had to just carry on. We had to manage to get a padre up into the area, and we'd had a quick service for Reg Mead, and we had to carry on. Another spare crew came up, and we carried on, and we weren't very far from the edge of the Ricewood Forest then, and we reached the edge, and we were told, we were instructed, whatever happened, that we would be the first, if we could get through, we would be the first troops to be able to penetrate the Siegfried Line, because other Canadians were coming to their right and the British forces were coming to our left. So when we reached there, they said, don't leave the edge of the forest, stay where you were, till everybody could catch you up in a line. So we just stayed on the edge of the forest, and we could look through the grass down into a farm, and we could actually see the Germans in the farm at the bottom dodging about, because they knew that's where we were there. And we just stayed there until we got orders to go forward, which we did, and then we didn't see any action for a while, because we had to collect all our broken down tanks, and which had broken down in the forest, and regroup again. So that was the end of that operation, called the Operation Variable.
And then? Operation Veritable.
Veritable, yes.
Mm. And then?
After that, we didn't take place in very many more actions after that, because we were going to reach the River Rhine, because the Germans then were retreating quite rapidly. We moved forward. We then crossed the Rhine on a bridge that was built by the Royal Engineers, and incidentally, the name of that bridge they're named as Westminster Bridge, and we crossed over that. We didn't from then onwards. We didn't see any more action at all. That was really the end of the Sea Squadron in any form of action.
Where did you finish up?
The European War came to an end, and the 9th Battalion Royal Tank Regiment had the job really of starting to demobilise the German army, and they were coming from all different Russian sectors, all different sectors, and they were coming to a transit camp, which we were in charge of the transit camp, and they were to be split up in areas, given a certain amount of money to get home, and they was to make their own way back home to their hometown in Germany. Wow. Those that went into the Russian side, they couldn't go back. They didn't want to go back, so they stayed into the West sector.
What impression did you get of these Germans who surrendered?
Very, very. The trains that were coming in from the Italian section, they were all in very good condition. The trains that were coming in from the Russian sector, they were in a terrible state. Their uniforms were bad, you know, they were threadbare, they were in a shocking state. But what we had to do, we had to get the best of the uniforms, the spare uniforms that anybody had from them, and put them in bulk. And these were spread out to the rest of those which their uniforms were in a bit of a state. So in actual fact, that's what happened. That's the job that we had, collecting the trains in from the local station and dispersing them out back to their home. then onwards, from then onwards, it was said that that the 9th Battalion would be disbanded. After that, would be disbanded, and they would be disbanded to various other Royal Tank Regiment regiments. I myself, which we were then Lance Corporals, and another chap, Lance Corporal Lovell, which we were both in 12 Troop together, which luckily had started from the start to the finish. Our commanding officer called us into the office and asked whether we would like to go back and train as officers, which would be needed in the forces straight after the war. But both of us declined that and said that we wouldn't like to stay on. So we were posted, people were posted, a lot of people went to various Royal Tank regiments. I was posted again on my own to a Royal Armoured Corps demonstration squadron, which were based still in Germany. I went there, and when I reached there into this demonstration squadron, although they called it a squadron, there were only three tanks with 15 personnel. And though we didn't have Churchill tanks, then we had Comet tanks, which were a faster tank. Our job there, I was then promoted to corporal, and I was the troop corporal there. We had a troop sergeant and a troop officer, which I didn't know anybody in there. And our job then was to go out onto the ranges with infantry that were based there, and we had to do exercises with the infantry, just the same as we were taught before we went into action in Normandy. And what they did, the British forces built huge stands there, like it reminded you of football stands, you know, where the idea that we were to train, and we were to train Belgian, French and Dutch officers. They all came into the stands, and we did our various infantry and tank exercises on the ground there.
Where was this?
This was at Bielefeld in Germany. Then we just did one or two exercises, live ammunition being fired, infantry doing exactly the same. It was to be made to look as though there was action town, and our objective was a farmhouse there. That was our objective on the site there. And we had to attack this farmhouse with the infantry, which we'd done in many cases previously in Normandy. So that was the job that I had for nearly 2 years there, because I had to stay on behind because of my age group. I was a group 48 to be demobbed, but unfortunately I had to stay on for nearly 2 years, and then I was demobbed from there, demobbed back to England, and that was the end of my army career.
How do you feel now about having served in the 9th RTR in the war?
After I was demobbed in the spring of 1947, we had to come back on what was called a Z reserve, where if there was any problems all over the world, we could be called back into the forces. Well, in 1951, after being out of the forces for 3 or 4 years, 1951, I got papers down that I had to report back to the forces again on Z reserve, which I knew I could be on. And it was just for 2 weeks training. And I was called back to Thetford in Suffolk, and I had to go back there again. And we did our fortnight's training in the Norfolk area. So we went back there again, and because I met some of the people I was with, that I was virtually with in Normandy. After that 2 weeks training, we was released back into our civilian jobs again. And we didn't hear any more the forces at all. That was the end of being called back in the forces.
Did you have any after effects of having served in the Second World?
Yes, I had ear problems. I do get a small pension from the forces because I perforated my ear in the firing positions in the tank. I perforated my ear and in the left ear, which lucky enough the perforation was healed, so it is a lot of improvement, but it does affect me a lot, various problems that I do have with it. But apart from that, you know, that's the only effects that I have. No effects at all, really.
And how do you feel about having served?
Having served? Just one of those jobs where you had to do it, and I got selected to, not of my own request, I had to go on the Royal Tank Regiment. I was prepared to do what I had to do, because I had other brothers in various parts of the forces anyway, so we was all the same, and everybody that I was with, they were either volunteered in C Squadron, either volunteered or they was conscripted as I was. So we were all virtually in the same boat, so it didn't affect me at all. It's just very nice sometimes to still keep in contact with the people that I can contact. And I've now been made president of the 9th Royal Tank Regiment, of the old boys, you know. And we do have these get-together once a year. And it's just nice to meet up with some of the people that I was with. And we pay respects with our church service in Charing for the people, the lads that we left behind in France and Europe. And that happens each year.